Hey guys, I'm happy to announce a partnership with Reformation Heritage Books. Do you want to start reading the Puritans but just don't know where to begin? Puritan Treasures for Today from Reformation Heritage Books makes the riches of these godly writers of old accessible for the modern reader. With updated language and helpful instructions, these classic works from John Owen, Jeremiah Burroughs, and more are the perfect starting point for the curious reader. Learn more about the Puritan Treasures for Today at heritagebooks.org/puritantreasures. Use coupon code SHEPHERDS for 10% off your order. That's heritagebooks.org/puritantreasures. Coupon code SHEPHERDS. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hello and welcome back to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. Hope you guys are having a great day today. I want to remind you of our sponsors, Reformation Heritage Books and Rise Performance. If you're looking for clean supplements and you're trying to get strong, it's a great place to do that. Go there online or live in store. If you're your local, you can get 10% off with our coupon code. Check all that stuff out in the show notes. Also check out Barbell Logic and what Matt Reynolds is doing. Great stuff going on over there. So if you're wanting to get strong in this new year, the new year's coming up. Good way to do that is to get a coach that can help you out along the way. Looking forward to my conversation today. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's been a massive controversy surrounding what's going on out in Moscow and with Doug and Joel and with James White and Tobias, and the whole internet seems to have exploded. I'm not even on Twitter, and I know some of the inside details about all this stuff just because so many people have been talking to me about it at church, and our church, you guys know well that we've had a lot of conversations about all this. So I wanted to talk to somebody that I've been learning from through this process and that we know just because of some just recent relationship we've built as a church. Our friends Tyler and Rachel went out to Joseph Spurgeon and King's Sovereign King Church in Indiana, and went over there to, I got to put the quotes in it here, but they went over to baptize their baby over there, and their church has been so helpful in just working through those things and partnering with us and that sort of thing. Really appreciated them, and Joseph Spurgeon's done a great job in putting together the Statement on Natural Affections. We're going to look at that here in just a little bit and talk through these things, but I have him live with me. So Joseph, how you doing today, brother?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for having me, and it's been a pleasure to work with you and Tyler and his wife and children. We love them. And so it's just amazing how the internet can be a place of great angst and division and fighting. And it can also be a place that kind of allows Christians that would never in other times have been connected to become connected and work through things and grow in holiness. So it's a tool for good or for bad.
Yes. Agreed. I think it's great also to know that people that are like-minded can actually work together without fighting. And that's something that's important even in our discussion today with people that are so like-minded. Let's go ahead and pray and ask for the Lord's help, and we're going to dive in. I'm going to have people tell, for those that aren't watching, you're going to tell them about your shirt here in a minute too, but we'll get to that here after the prayer. So, Father, we just thank you so much for all you're doing. We ask your blessing upon this conversation. Even now, we recognize we're recording, but we're actually praying to you, and our prayers are heard in the Holy of Holies because of the blood of Christ. And we ask for peace and reconciliation with the people that are fighting online and the people in the Reformed community that are seeing this and watching and are frustrated or scratching their heads. God, I just pray for clarity, just even from the people that are listening to this show, that maybe this brings just some encouragement and help today. And we want to ultimately honor you and shepherd our church as well, but we also just want to grow and learn. Iron sharpens iron. So does one man sharpen another. And so Holy Spirit, just use this conversation to do that. And it's for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So,
amen.
Amen. So you didn't vote for Kamala Harris, I guess, right?
No, I did not.
Okay. Good.
You probably cannot tell who I voted for.
You got the Trump shirt on. I've got the Daddy's Home shirt, but you've got the Trump riding on an eagle. And do you mind divulging where you got this shirt from, or is that a little too embarrassing?
I got it from China. got it from Temu. When the assassination attempt happened, I can, you know, up until then, I was kind of a reluctant Trump supporter. You know, the first time he ran in 2016, didn't vote for him. I didn't trust him. 2020, I would have crawled over broken glass because of just the way they treated him. And so I when I say reluctant, I mean, I was happy to do it, but like in the, a lot of times you're fighting people or people are arguing about his character. And I thought the assassination attempt revealed a lot of good about his character. Obviously he has character flaws, but I don't think the left and liberals hate Trump because of his flaws. They hate him because of his good character. And the good character there was like under pressure, he stood up with courage and boldness and encouraged the people, his thought was the people, and encouraging them to fight. And man, that was like, I was preparing to preach that because it was Saturday evening, and the next day I was on fire to go preach. And it's strange. It was just simply because a display of that kind of manly boldness is catchy. And yeah, it encouraged me. And I was like, well, man, okay, no more like not saying anything. Let me go get a t-shirt. And so and let me get one with the irony of Trump's good character, of his manliness about it. And so he's riding the eagle. And I got it at the best place, the cheapest place.
Yeah.
Got the best deals. They have the best deals.
They do. We got a deacon at our church. He's walking around in Temu shoes and probably has a Temu wallet and Temu shirts and clothes and all sorts of stuff. Okay, so let's talk courage for a second before we get into our content, because it is interesting. In that moment, God's common grace that's upon him, because there's not the same foundation that the Stonewall Jackson courage came from. It's not the same foundation that, you know, the Christian courage throughout, you know, the church history where you've had bold men. It's not even Sergeant or Major Winters from Band of Brothers kind of courage. But it is the same. He revealed that he's not a sorbel. He revealed that he's not, you know, all talk, no action. And I think for a lot of people, when they saw that, it was the, you know, thing that threw Elon into support of him. But so many others were like, man, that's the kind of man, whether it comes from a solid foundation or not, it's real. It's real courage. It's authentic. It's not, I mean, this is the kind of guy that you go into battle and, all right, I want to be with that kind of guy that's got that kind of grit. And man, is that needed. And I think that's what rallied so many people like yourself to go over to Temu and get a t-shirt, or to me to go get a t-shirt, the Daddy's Home shirt from Amazon. But moments like that really reveal a man's character. And I think that was a shining moment in that man's life for sure.
That and also the response, you know, Trump has always been boisterous and somewhat proud. And yet I think he showed humility afterwards in the speeches and the response, and he gave God glory and attributed the saving of his life to God. Whether that's a saving Christian faith or not, it's still a good thing. It's an encouraging thing, and it leads me to pray even more for him and those around him. And you know, I've preached through the book of Daniel before, and the highlight of that book is Nebuchadnezzar being thrown into the grass and acting like a beast, and then finally making a proclamation of faith in God. Mm-hmm. And so if God can humble Nebuchadnezzar, this pagan tyrant, then we got great hope for Donald Trump and those in his circle. And so that's my prayer. And so it's good to see courage, good to see some humility. And if someone, as you put, with common grace, not on the strong foundation, can show that, then how much more us Christians
should
be able to do that?
Yeah. Yeah. Upon hearing the command, be strong and courageous, a Christian is built for it and has the power of the Spirit within us. Says that's good. All right, so let me do a backstory here and bring us up to speed for those that may not be familiar with this, or those in our church that might be interested in just the progression here. 2020, God used that, and it was a great sifting for a lot of pastors and churches, but there were so many things that were turned or exposed where the rock got lifted and everybody began to squirm. But also there was an online boldness that began to happen when it comes to just a reaction against anti-white racism, basically. A lot of white dudes got tired of hearing about how bad white dudes are and felt more and more familiar and comfortable saying, it's all right to be white here, all right? And, you know, conversations of ethnicity or race bubbled up, and how do we think through this and process through this? These conversations were going on everywhere. And then 2 or 3 years ago, we started seeing from Tom Hanks's son, White Boy Summer. He had the song White Boy Summer, and then Tom McDonald had a song called White Boy Summer too, which is pretty rough. But there started to be this kind of thing going on where guys are just having fun, saying it's all right to be white, White Boy Summer. And these White Boy Summer memes began to go, and everybody started to be suspicious here. Like, what's happening? Is this ethnic superiority? Is this racial superiority? Or is it just dudes that are saying, hey, it's fun to be white, you know, kind of thing? That develops, the suspicions begin to develop. Conversations around Hitler and blood and soil stuff happen. You have kinism begin to show up on the scene. You have the statement on Christian nationalism, the gospel. You have Stephen Wolfe's book. You have Andrew Torba. You have Gab. All these anti-Semitic things that are on Gab. There's just been a hotbed mess of things going on, and things have shifted. People on both sides of this, or all sides of this, have been curious and wondered what other people believe or what other people think about this. There's been witch hunts. There's been accusations. All that leading up to, let's just say, the tipping point, which was the 2024 White Boy Summer video released on September 11th. Now, people may disagree with timelines on this, but I think at least that brings you up to speed on the conversation of over the last few years. White Boy Summer video happens. Initial response from a lot of people was, man, this is awesome. And then people began to see there's 3 or 4 clips of basically Nazi things that are happening with Germany. We were talking about it. I didn't share it publicly. We had people in our church that, if I shared that publicly, we had older people in our church, they'd be like, what in the world are you doing here, man? And, you know, basic prudence required us to not publicly share things like that for our context. But then I had a buddy that said, hey, you know, that's the guy shaking Martin Luther King's hand there. That's the leader of the American Nazi Party. And I said, really? Man, that's okay. Well, that's intentionally put there. Then there's a couple other scenes there as well that are intentionally there. And people began to, you know, from that point, I think, really recognize, okay, there's something happening. Then this whole thing called Stone Choir that I've been hearing about. I'm not on Twitter anymore, Joseph. I'm almost done here. But I've had to get all this from people in our church, guys in our church, and just around the internet and piece it all together. But I hear the Stone Choir guys are like, yeah, kill all the Jews. Hitler was right. And then I hear that some of these White Boy Summer guys are influenced by this Stone Choir group. I'm like, what in the world is happening here? And yet it really is okay to be white. This video is awesome. If these kind of things aren't there, then I really don't have a problem with it. Well, then Doug, Joel have kind of cryptic frustrations back and forth. You have Eric Kahn and the Ogden Boys pulled into this. And there's all this behind the scenes where it seems like content back and forth is beginning to turn on some people. And there starts to be these intramural fights. And then all the stuff comes to a head with Pastor Joel and Tobias out in Germany. And then with James White towards Joel as well. And then we find out that it really is all this stuff going on behind the scenes. And Doug and the guys put together the statement or the Antioch Declaration. And shots are fired. Names are named. And then we're here to where we are. So would you just comment on some of that? I may have missed some pieces here and there, maybe some things I missed, or trying to bring some people up to speed in maybe a little bit better way. And then maybe make a few comments on the kind of the explosion that happened after the Antioch Declaration was posted and what your thoughts were about that, all things leading up to that, and then the Antioch Declaration after you saw it.
Yeah, man, you did a good job of giving kind of the big lay of the land. And when you say it that way, man, it just sounds like a mess. And it somewhat is that you're dealing with personalities that are high energy. We men have egos, men have platforms, men have positions and opinions. And I think you go back, here's an element that's very helpful, maybe. If you go back 2020, 2019 and all the woke stuff entering in the church before then, and then kind of all the censorship, and this, like you said, anti-white stuff going on, there's just like, we're fed up with it. Mm-hmm. There's like that fight response. And so people are willing to just say things that in the past would have been, in that time especially, cancelable and all that. And a lot of that is, I think, reactionary. It's getting reactions. This is not necessarily, what I'm about to say is not necessarily meant to characterize everybody in evil ways, but just simply to say it's somewhat the nature of the internet. And it's always been how the internet works. People get, say one thing, other people misinterpret it, or other people hear another thing, and people are arguing and fighting over all kinds of stuff. And then you get, again, personalities into it, and personalities have followers and people that like them, and so they get into it over this and that. So that's just broadly that happens. I wrote a post about how when I was in elementary school, I think about fifth grade, I had to ride a school bus to school. And there was a guy named Jerry Johnson. And Jerry was a kind of a bigger dude. He kind of looked like Chris Farley with black hair. And he kind of had that kind of like, dude, I'm probably dating myself with Chris Farley. I don't know if all your listeners know who that is. But he lived in a van down by the river, that guy.
That's right.
And Jerry would make loud jokes, but he would also say off-color stuff or stuff that might be offensive. And there was this group of girls that would sit like almost beside him or behind him, and he would say something, and then they would go, and then they would write it down in their notebook,
okay,
and then tell the bus driver. And the bus driver would get on Jerry or you know, and eventually Jerry kind of caught on to that. And so he went out of his way to say stuff to get them to go and write in their book. And I don't think either side would ever admit to it, but they enjoyed this symbiotic relationship. The girls enjoyed the thrill of being able to gasp at the things that Jerry said.
Yeah.
And Jerry enjoyed getting the rise out of them. So that it just got more and more absurd. And I've always thought that's, I've had that thought in my mind for a long time to deal with Donald Trump and the media. The media are the schoolgirls, and Donald Trump is saying things, and then they report it to their, and I've often thought, no, that's actually a lot of the reform internet stuff. Like Eric Kahn says something, and the schoolgirls write in their notebooks. Or Doug Wilson says something, and writes in their notebook. And I think that's just the internet in general. And I think that's the white boy summer video. I haven't told anybody publicly. I'm in the video personally.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah.
And I've been friends with those guys, like Samuel Holden, and I don't know him that well, but I know his brother. And I did not particularly enjoy that there were Hitler things in it, and I told them and have made that clear, like, dude, you kind of threw some of us under the bus, it felt like, by including that.
Mm-hmm.
And don't put me in that again with that. The other stuff I'm fine with. It is cool. I mean, God made me white.
Mm-hmm.
White men have done a lot of good things. They've done, I mean, bad things too, but I love my heritage. I love America. I enjoyed the video, especially for some reason when the crocodile hunter showed up in the video. I teared up.
Oh, man, I teared up. I mean, I watched that. I was like, this is awesome, you know?
Yeah, it hits you.
It does.
And why did they put Hitler in it? Knowing those guys, they're not a Hitler. Like, they're trying to get everybody to worship Hitler or to follow after Hitler. They're the ultimate trolls. And what they're responding to is what just happened with Donald Trump. It's amazing we've got to talk about this. Is what has Donald Trump been? What did Kamala Harris and all, what was their last gasp in the election? Was Donald Trump's the Nazi, not Donald Trump's the Hitler, mm-hmm. and everybody that supports him is Hitler or I can't remember trash, garbage.
Yeah.
And that's what right. Joe Biden said.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're responding to that anytime anyone wants to reclaim a thought about a nation being able to capture itself or to be distinct or to maintain its ethnic kind of makeup, or any kind of nation that wants to do anything good for itself, have the borders. In our day, that often gets immediately called Hitler. It's it's because Hitler was a wicked dude. He's not the cartoon character. There's a cartoon version of the war in which, you know, you have the devil and he's bad, but then there's Hitler.
Yeah.
And
then Stalin's way down here. Yeah.
Yeah. And when you think about it, Stalin and Hitler, it's hard to determine who was more wicked.
Right.
But there's, I believe maybe 400, maybe not even that, years from now, we look back, people will look back in history in the same way we look back at like Alexander the Great or mm-hmm. other, maybe not even him, other tyrants that killed lots of people and did lots of wickedness. The conversation will be more historical, less mm-hmm. emotionally charged, and able to be more accurate about all the issues.
Yeah.
But right now it's kind of a cartoon character, and that gets a lot of people riled up.
Yeah.
And I think they're pushing back. I'm trying to strongman this for you of that. Like, if you're going to call us Hitler, well, we're not going to become Hitler, but we're just going to mock it and we're going to vote in your face.
Gotcha.
And
gotcha.
Personally, I think that's a foolish thing to do mm-hmm. on one hand. Like, I don't have to let the left dictate the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
There's a narrative World War II. I don't think we should downplay and come up with a new narrative that Hitler was this good guy. So I think that's what the Stone Choir guys have done, is like they, in my opinion, have absolutized in many ways ethnicity, race, and in real terms, I don't even like the term racism, but in real terms, I think they are racist and have ethnic hatred towards other people. It comes out in their comments online. Mm-hmm. And so there are people that are trying to make Hitler look like a good guy. And then there are other guys who are simply like, we're not following your constantly call us Hitler, and we're going to mock you with it. And I think that's the white boy summer guys. I think there's probably some overlap with that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, and then a lot of that is immaturity, I believe. And it causes, and this has been my concern, it causes a lot of people that like are just good salt of the earth Christians, just normal Christians going about their Christian life, doing Christian stuff, to come into this and be like, what in the heck is going on?
Yeah.
Right. Why in the world are we putting Hitler in stuff like this?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a lack of prudence.
Yeah.
It and because broadly speaking in our culture, I think everybody rightly, I think, recognizes that there was evil done. To do that is like, we don't need to associate ourselves with that, even though they would accuse us of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes a lot of problems.
Yeah.
And then, so you have that side, and then you have people, I think, who had legitimate pastoral concerns. Some of the things I just shared, also sharing that there are men that are now not only mocking it, but embracing that. They're embracing some hatred that is not godly, and they're becoming obsessed with the Jews, as if our battle is really with Jews rather than the spiritual forces of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And really obsessed. And I think Tobias, I'm going to try to strongman them as well. Tobias is this German pastor who had one of his members go to Joel Webbin's church. And somewhere in the process, that member began to rethink history, doubt the veracity of the claims of the Holocaust, and began to take a very negative view of the Jews. And so Tobias, the strong man, had concerns, pastoral concerns.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is where I think they've allowed those concerns to cause them to fall into a ditch as well, to mm-hmm. begin not recognizing what's actually happening, to begin making wild accusations, and to make less than truthful claims about Joel Webbin that undermines their own concerns. And so you just, it's again, it's a whole mess that's mm-hmm. out there. And my desire through it all is not to try to be, well, like Tim Keller's third way. There's some third, like a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Rather, it's like, can we state the truth on, and we'll talk about what natural affections are, but can we state the truth on things about ethnicity, family relationships, national relationships, state them, and also be very clear about where there are things that are outside the pill.
Yeah.
And in doing that, can we protect the peace and the mm-hmm. purity of the church? That's what pastors do. We have to protect the peace and the purity of the church. And a lot of this online garbage or online division stuff disrupts that either by disrupting the peace and the purity. And so, yeah, you probably have questions. Good. Maybe.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, I think you have done the third way thing pretty well on this particular issue. When the right way demands bringing people together, at least stating that there can be a concern, but this isn't the way, and we can do something in a way that's faithful to the scriptures, that highlights biblical truth, that's not as time-stamped with internet verbiage and language, that will be more enduring, where people could read it in 100 years and at least understand, okay, I understand what's going on, and say, this is too, there seems to be a witch hunt, there is a real problem, there's a better way. I think you've done a really good job with that. It's funny because it seems like in the reform world, everything turns into federal vision. And I think this is like a federal vision instance where, you know, you had the conference in the early 2000s and Lusk and Wilson and everybody that was involved with that. We had a local church that actually, we had a pastor that was defrocked in the PCA, and then they joined the CREC. And this is Burke Shade is the name of the pastor that was defrocked. He ended up being like one of those dark, stout federal vision guys that, if you remember the conversation that Doug Wilson had on, you know, the range here of federal vision. Now, Bill Smith pastors that church. It's a great church. We're friends with them. They're right down the road. They, you know, just high church Presbyterianism. They are great in a lot of ways. But from that federal vision conversation, it was a witch hunt. There was concern. And if respectable people say we have concern, that causes the lay people to say, well, if they have concern, I should have concern. And then everybody gets stirred up into a frenzy. And in that frenzy, you don't know. It's just like, I'm supposed to be. And everybody just keeps, it's like this big tornado that keeps pulling people in. Well, and then there's this big frenzy and battle lines drawn. And I think this is just another, it's just federal vision. This is, there's the fight there. However, in this, the other side is saying it's not a big deal, we're just having fun, and not seeing that, no, actually, there are people that are saying that the Jews need to die. Ethnic Jews are inherently more evil, and that's a different conversation than saying Judaism is uniquely malevolent in the sense that they are the only religion that's built on the hatred and rejection of Christ in that unique and particular way, and parsing that out. But there are people that are going too far. So I think the way you've done this with your statement on natural affections states biblical truth. It leaves room for people who like the White Boy Summer video without the trolling stuff in it, and are frustrated with all the anti-white racism. But it also, it does a better job, I think, fencing biblical truth than what happened with the Antioch Declaration. The Antioch Declaration just seems like a true, whether they intended this or not, I want to give those guys a benefit of the doubt, but it seems like a witch hunt kind of document that's cryptically toward Joel, Ogden, and anybody else that would be on that side of things. So bring us up speed then. You saw the Antioch Declaration, and you thought, I want to do something that's going to be maybe more pastoral here, or a little bit more clear here. So what was the progression of reading the Antioch Declaration and saying, no, I'm going to put together this statement, and I know you didn't officially march into this thing wanting to put together an official statement that you were even going to post, but you wanted to jot down some things. So bring us in the progression then of what you wanted to do and why you did it.
Yeah, sure. I should maybe, I'm going to preface this with something that I haven't said publicly yet, but I have people that are close to me that think I'm a fool for even engaging in some of this. They're like, dude, you should just cut all this off. And I respect them because they don't have some of the relationships. When you have relationships and you're dealing with this, like, no, I feel some sense of responsibility to try to help people that I love and care about that other people don't maybe have connections. And so, but I have thought, you know, at times, sometimes you meddled into and you're grabbing dogs that you shouldn't, that are fighting. And so I don't want to be doing that, but I want to be helpful to the church. And hopefully the wisdom will be seen by our fruits in this. But and so just pastorally, I could, let me say that there's a whole lot of people that are just out there and are watching all this happen. And it's always wise to touch grass. It's always wise to just realize that in your church, probably most of the people have no clue. If they do, they don't know what to think, but they do get together and worship together. They love Jesus. And like this thing that is happening out there, it's big, it's happening. And yet, even my statement, man, nobody will remember it probably 10 months from now. So just put it in that perspective. It's always helpful to think these things come and go. They can be faddish and all that. And we'll see what the Lord does with it. And so that's a little pastoral advice to people, is just don't allow personalities and all these things to move you away. Like, love Jesus and think about him. Now, when you do, you will get, and you'll talk about these kind of issues, and then you can do it without all the angst. So anyways, what happened was I've been following the thing that happened with Joel Webben and Tobias. I'm friends with the guys from Eschatology Matters, and they put out the podcast. What's interesting, this is the funny thing, is I had gone to a conference. I was going to be having Andrew Iskower, my podcast. We were going to be talking about Jews. So a guy in my congregation is like, hey, you should listen to this thing from Joel Webben about, it was the situation that Tobias was going to be dealing with. I listened to it and was like, you know, actually, I agree with Joel Webben. I didn't know Tobias' side of this stuff. I just agreed with Joel Webben that, like, you probably handled that well. If I had a guy come to my church dealing with all that, I would be working him through it. It wouldn't be a church discipline thing right off the bat and all that kind of stuff. And what's funny, the day I watched that was the day that Tobias put out his thing. And I thought that, and so, and then he did, and all that happens. So I'm kind of watching all that happen and being like, I don't think something's not right. And then finally they pull it down. Well, Jeff Durbin, who, you know, I really appreciate and have always enjoyed his ministry, he's been encouraging to me, messaged me personally, be like, hey, we put out this statement, Antioch statement. He saw where I had been posting stuff against Hitler and against Jews, or not against Jews, but against Hitler. And also, I think rightly saying that Judaism is bad, but and making distinctions and stuff. Mm-hmm. But so he asked me to sign it. And because I respect him and the man that did it so much, I was very, let me read it. But as I read it, I personally found like, I don't think I can sign this. Mm-hmm. It felt a little convoluted to me. It felt not clear enough. It felt like it was addressing the Joel Webben thing without actually addressing it. There was some loaded language about Aristotle, which I saw as an attack on some other people. There were statements about Judaism not being worse than some other religions and those things. And I just thought, there are things that's in here that it's trying to accomplish that I don't feel like it's actually accomplishing very well.
Mm-hmm.
That said, there have been people that signed my statement and signed the Antioch statement. And I've always thought, my statement can stand alone. The Antioch statement can stand on its own 2 feet. My purpose is not necessarily to destroy it or knock it down, but rather I wrote a thing saying, here's the reasons I'm not going to sign the Antioch statement, put that out. And I gained a ton of traction, like thousands of people liked it and shared it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, you know what, well, let me just take a shot at what would I say about, and the issue of natural affections has been a lot of all this. They're simply the the loves that we have that God's given to us by nature, that is by our family, familiar relationships, national relationships. Ethnicity is a part of that because that is our shared bonds in family as you extend out from your nuclear family to your extended family and beyond. That's where mm-hmm. ethnicities and stuff come from, and race is just the broadest circle. And so natural affections is how do we deal with those relationships? And scripture itself speaks of, it actually never commands us to that, though it speaks of, in the explicit, you must have natural affections. Though it does speak in the negative that it's a sin not to have them. Those
yeah.
you see in Romans 1, it's one of the sins listed for when people do not give thanks to God. They mm-hmm. lack natural affections. And then you see it also in Paul's letter to Timothy about the kind of people will become, those without natural affection. And so in our day, with everything so rootless and everything disconnected, it is a good, important truth. So I wrote out a thing and threw it up on the internet, not thinking anything about it. And man, it blew up. Like, it got a ton of likes and shares, and a lot of people being like, hey, I would sign this. I couldn't sign to Antioch, but I'd sign this. And I had some people reach out and say, that's we run a professional internet, you know, a website company and internet promotional company. We'll design you a website. And so then I had to go, and I went and edited it. And then I thought, you know what would be very helpful is if I can get guys that signed the Antioch, and I can get guys who didn't and who have been on both sides of this Joel Webb and Tobias thing. Mm-hmm. If I can get them to come together on this, it's not going to create peace for all time. It's peace in our time, maybe. ironically, it's just a temporary truce probably type thing, but at least I think helps find some common ground on all these yeah. arguments. And so I did. I got Yuri Brito, who is the leader or the presiding minister over the CREC. I got Joe Webben together. I got A.D. Robles. I got Tim Bouchon and even Toby Sumter and a few other men to come together, give me a little bit of feedback. We pushed, we negotiated. Every statement that you put out is always a kind of a compromise statement other than that. And that's what we did. And mm-hmm. and that's, you know, could a whole lot more could be said about the statement, about the things in the statement. We didn't, obviously, this doctrine is something that's been thought of for centuries.
Right.
And there's a whole lot more that could be said. There are maybe things that are in it that, like, could be taken out and help it make it be more long-term.
Mm-hmm.
They were dealing with maybe the issues of Hitler and of modern ideologies that impact this. And so Nazism is really a very, very minor, small thing. A lot of people question the wisdom of including that. And I get it. Like, yeah. But there are, like, there is the Stone Choir guys, and there are mm-hmm. people that may be tempted to that. So I left it in there. I thought it was good. We made clear that communism, that woke stuff, basically, there's ideologies that come and use the doctrine of natural affection and twist it. Mm-hmm. Either into absolutizing race into everything and ethnicity and everything, or even family life and everything. And then there are guys that I think come in a absolutize the spiritual relationship so that it destroys those natural relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that God put us in natural relationships, and he gave us spiritual relationships in the gospel. And there are times when our duties, our responsibilities, our loyalties to one or the other override the other.
Yeah. And yeah.
It takes a lot of wisdom. So
that's good. We have been going here for a while, so I want to shift gears a little bit here and jump from your statement to our final point of conversation here, which is how to shepherd people through the highs and lows of internet controversy from week to week, especially if you're on Twitter or X. There's always something. There's something blowing up. Somebody's mad at somebody. There's the next explosion of thing. This is the thing right now that has kind of culminated from smaller explosions to the biggest thing that's that churches like ours are dealing with. And we've got people in our church, and I'm talking with them and trying to pastor them through this. And I think your statement is a really does a really good job of giving pastors and elders like ours tools to be able to say, hey, look, this is kind of hitting the concerns from both sides here. This is something that can be a tool to help pastors shepherd people through this. But how do you shepherd people through a controversy? Let's just say they've consumed content through Canon for years. They've got Canon Plus because we encourage them to get Canon Plus. They love the Ogden guys. They really appreciate the content that's coming out of Ogden. They love Right Response Ministries. They love Stephen Wolf and Andrew Isker, and they're learning from all these guys. Now, what if everybody hates each other's guts and you're left confused because they're saying that they're Revoice for Nazis, and you're wondering, are they Revoice for Nazis? And if I listen to them, am I now part of Revoice for Nazis? Or I'm over here and, you know, now am I a part of the, you know, am I rejecting the post-war consensus now? Am I on with Moscow side of thing? Do I have boomer brain now? You know, whatever it may be, that is the arrow being shot. How do you shepherd people through all the internet controversies? And even this, when people come to you, through all this, what's, we should be able as Christians to have joy and regardless of what's going on, not let that stir us up, but man, it stirs up people. And there are people that are just members of local churches that are seeing this and are grieving. How do we shepherd people through this kind of thing?
You know, I think, interestingly enough, the statement on natural affections, the principle, one of the principles behind that might call localism is somewhat in it. As you think about natural affections, the idea is the right order of love. How do we order our loves? That is, I'm a limited person with limited resources, limited time, limited abilities, and part of dealing this is the order. It's called the Ordo Emeritus. I'm going to miss the word up. It's even in my document. Ordo Emeritus, I think, or something is the word, which is the ordering of loves. And part of the things we deal with is, like, I have a spiritual connection with the Christian in, they'll just do New Zealand, right? The Reformed Christian in New Zealand. I have a spiritual connection with, but I don't know them from Adam. And I have a next door neighbor that may not be a believer. I actually should have more love, more loyalty, more duty, and more responsibility to that next door neighbor that I know, that I could see, that I could talk to, right? That's because who do I have the most opportunity to give that love to is that person. So considering that, I think that applies even in this, in the sense of, my first encouragement of, and we talk about this a lot at my church, is your love, your loyalty, your affection, your obedience, your listening to should be to the local church you're a part of. Mm-hmm. And start there. Start with, like, who's your pastor? What denomination are you in? Like, God puts you there. It doesn't mean they're always right and the other people are always wrong. And we get in the, we don't want to be factious. So we don't want to become like 1 Corinthians, I'm of Apollos and all that. But God put you in a local church with pastors. The biggest way to not let internet controversies just destroy you is just to order your loves and your loyalties and your focus to where God placed you. Mm-hmm. Listen to your pastors. Love your pastors. When other people seem to be going nuts, realize the internet, the medium, somewhat creates that. It's designed for short messages. It's designed for memes that laugh. It's, again, part of it is it's the school bus effect of saying something, other people gasp, it gets you a thrill, all that kind of stuff. All that is less in your local church, in your local congregation. You actually have to look at the person, and you can't just meme them in person. I hope you don't. You actually talk to them. You work through these controversies. And quite frankly, if Doug Wilson and Joe Webiner, James White and Stephen Wolf called each other and we had the opportunity to listen, I imagine it would sound nothing like the sit down and shut up messages that James White put, right?
Right.
It would look like what's happening here. So a lot of that is, like, be local, be with flesh and blood people in front of you, love them. And then the next thing I would say is, having done that, now you can deal with internet stuff rightly, recognizing just what's happening. It's personalities. It's the devil wants to divide. Always come back to the word of God, the truths that you've been gained in. And remember, you know, Paul told Timothy the purpose of the instruction.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important.
Yeah.
Whether it's natural affections, whether it's dealing with anything, what's the purpose of our instruction? It's love. Love for God, love for neighbor, and that love is the fulfillment of the law. So God's law and love there, God's commands, it's love and obedience, and that comes from a pure heart, sincere, a clean conscience, and a sincere faith. And that's what all this teaching should produce. So if you're finding that you're constantly consuming stuff from whoever it is, from me, from whoever, and it is not producing in you a faith in Christ, which leads you to confess your sins so that you have that clean conscience before God and therefore can love others, turn it off. You don't need Doug Wilson to be a Christian. You don't need me to be a Christian. God gave you your pastor. Like, you know, I hope that I can be helpful. Doug Wilson can be helpful on things.
Yeah, so I think that's all good. I think it also is valid, getting back to what you're talking about. If you're consuming so much internet content, in the same way you said you don't have to have Doug Wilson to live a faithful life to Christ and honoring him and humbly living before him and others. And it may be just don't listen. Get out of the internet world. You don't have to say you're a Luddite to just say, I'm jumping off the internet. You don't have to. You know, it's not just you're not Amish if you get off Twitter. It really is okay to run from some of those mediums. And then if you're consuming so many podcasts and you're finding yourself frustrated all the time, we got a guy in our church, I'm like, man, just stop listening. Like, just turn it off. And I think that's perfectly valid as well. But man, brother, that statement is so helpful. And I think it's going to be helpful for a lot of churches for sure.
Yeah, you know, there are different debates and stuff that happen that are good. And this is, the church has always been, even in persecution times, they were debating, they were fighting over small things. And God uses that. And there are people that need to be involved. There are people that probably don't. You have to exercise wisdom to know, is this a debate I should be in, shouldn't be? And people are going to disagree. Again, quite frankly, just to be honest, one of my elders, love him dearly. We love each other. We've worked hard. He thinks I'm a fool for being involved in this debate and like that I should just condemn everybody and back out.
Mm-hmm.
And he may be right.
Mm-hmm.
there was another controversy that has another guy, in our presbytery, is dealing with a controversy with Wheaton College and First Presbyterian. And I have no connection whatsoever to Wheaton College. I have no connection to First Presbyterian. I think it's in New England somewhere.
Okay.
And it's like, I'm kind of like, dude, why in the heck are you even involved in that? Like,
mm-hmm.
like that. And yeah, I realized, no, he has love and he has care. He has connection with those people. He's involved. He's working through it. And like, okay, I'm not getting involved because it doesn't involve me, but I love him. And I think that's kind of the thing here. Like, there's personalities, there's people you care about,
right?
You learn from. Just use wisdom. Talk to your pastor about, should I be involved in this?
Mm-hmm.
Don't make it a thing of personalities. It's very hard. I love Jeff Durbin. When he came to me and was like, hey, you should sign this and promote it, I had to wrestle with that. I couldn't do it, but like, I didn't like saying that I couldn't do it because mm-hmm. I felt like stabbing a friend.
Yeah.
But our loyalty is to Christ above Doug Wilson, above Joel Webben, above myself, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so be loyalty to the word of God, be loyal to Christ.
That's good. Also, it may be good just to hit pause, or when this episode gets done, just pray for the situation. I mean, God hears our prayers, and pray for peace and unity. And even, you know, at your local level, you want to be more concerned about what's going on in your home and your church than you are what's going on in this controversy. Very good. I'll put the link to the show in the show notes to the statement. But for those who are interested in a little bit more of what you do, I know you got the podcast and you've written a couple books. We got both of your books. It's going to be a boy. It's going to be a girl. Where can people find more information about you, what you got going on, and all of that?
Yeah, I well, the Patriarchy Podcast is the podcast that I do. It's somewhat sporadic. If I get ideas and get people to interview and stuff, I get it coming out quite regularly. Sometimes I take breaks from here and there because my main focus is towards the church. So if you really want to message me, you can do so probably best on social media, whether Facebook, Joseph Spurgeon, Twitter, Joseph Spurgeon. Or if you want to find out more about my church, sovereignkingchurch.com. That's where my love is and his heart is with our church. I do have another book coming out. It's called It's Good to Be White.
Really?
I'm kidding.
It's like, really? Okay, well, let's see here. We may put a link in that as well.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that would may cause a few blogs to come your way if you did that. All right. Well, I appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for taking the time. And everybody listening, we're talking with Joseph Spurgeon, and he is in relation to Mr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, I believe. But real quick before we end, how are you related to him? Is it cousin, relation? How is it that you're somehow related to him?
He would be a great grandpa.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Not saying he was my great grandpa. I'm just saying he would be a great grandpa to have.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. There we go. He would be a great grandpa to have.
Yeah, no, it'd be something more like a great, 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 great uncle.
Okay. Very cool. All right. Well, thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. God bless.
Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrook.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes. And if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crook, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.